you with us. All right.
We should be up and going. The book of Luke, chapter 15. Is everybody there? If you are, let's stand together. We'll reverence the Word of God, and I'll share with you just a little bit of the Word of God tonight. I tell you, I want to go ahead and read the whole story. I'm just going to use part of it. But what a beautiful story in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm sure that if you've been in church any at all, you've heard the story of the prodigal son sometime or another in your life. But you know what? This is a special chapter to me because it talks about the love of God. And I'll show you what I'm talking about as we read. Verse number 11 says this. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am now more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and isn't found, and they began to be merry. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we pause tonight. We thank you, Lord, for every part of the service thus far. We thank you for the singing of the songs, the congregational songs. And Lord, for the specials that the young people have put on, even the instrumental specials, Lord. Everything here tonight, to me, has glorified your name. And Lord, that's why we're here. And Lord, we want to know more about your love, a Father's love. And so, Lord, as we open this passage of Scripture, give us just a little glimpse of who you are tonight. And Lord, I pray if there's any in this service tonight who feel unloved, who feels like there's not a God that loves them, the Lord, if they would realize tonight that they are loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This has always been special to me, and I tell you why. When I was a teenager and I was backslidden and I was doing things I shouldn't do, this was the message that really hit home to me to the point that I got my life straightened back up. And this is the Scripture that was straight to me that night. You ever been in church and it feels like you're getting preached straight to? It's like, why is he picking on me? Well, this was mine. And it was like, why don't he just quit? Why don't he back off? I mean, it just like every verse was right straight to me. And I didn't really realize till later on in the ministry that this passage of Scripture is really not about sons as much as it is about a father. See, here's what we've got to understand tonight. This father had two sons, sure. And we know that one of those sons got out and did things he shouldn't have done and wasted everything. He defamed the family name. He did everything that would degrade him as a family member. But you know what? He never was out of the love of his father. And there was another son that didn't go. And he was never out of love of the father either. So really, it doesn't matter how many children you got, you love every one of them, don't you? But here's the thing about God's love. God's love sees way beyond our faults. God's love sees beyond our imperfections. God's love looks past when we defame Him and degrade Him and we degrade ourselves. You know, sin really, it does degrade God. If you're a child of God and you sin, you know what degrades God? It brings the name of God down. I get so aggravated when I see athletes on television and they want to give God credit for things, and then the next thing they're doing is doing a beer commercial. That degrades the name of God. That's like God's putting His stamp of approval. Do you understand tonight that everything you do in public is either glorifying God or defaming God? Everything you do, how you treat your neighbors, how you act in public, what you do at work, if you're a good employee or not a good employee, if you do right with the laws of the land, if you pay your taxes, all those things simply either glorify God or defame God. Because the lost world's looking out there and they're saying, well, that person's a Christian and that's what they're doing, so it must be okay. You ever thought about that? Well, I don't think we think most of the time. And there's no doubt this son in this story, he wasn't thinking it was going to hurt the father. How many of you parents here tonight have had children do things that were wrong and it really embarrassed you? It embarrassed you. You heard about it, somebody told you about it, and it was very an embarrassing time. You know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. Chances are your kids never even give that a second thought. When I was out getting in trouble, Bradley, I didn't care if it hurt Mom and Dad's feelings or not. I didn't even consider Mom and Dad. I thought about me doing what I want to do, having fun for myself. I didn't care that it might give Mom and Dad a bad name. I didn't worry about their reputation. I was worried about mine. And really, I didn't care. I was having fun and I was doing what other people were doing. But you know what I did reflected on them? And people looked at them because of some of the things I did. Y'all here tonight, is everybody asleep? But here's what I'm going to ask you tonight. Do you understand that you walk out these doors and you say, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. How many of you, just out of curiosity tonight, you know you're a child of God? All right, let me tell you this. Do you realize tonight that everything you do reflects back on your Heavenly Father? Isn't that a scary thing? But I'm not here to beat you down tonight. I'm here to tell you about a Father's love. There's a country music song that really could be turned into a Christian inspirational song, I think. Let me tell you the secret about a Father's love. Y'all know the song I'm talking about? Well, I want to let you in on a little secret, not just a little bit and piece of who God is tonight. And I want you to understand the Father's love. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have God as your Heavenly Father, you know what? You're miserable tonight. You don't have no hope tonight. But I want to tell you about a Father's love. So we go to this story. And this story, what I want to pick up, yeah, I want to pick this story up in verse number 16. As you read through this story that I read to you, you find this son, and you find him in a far country. Now, by the way, why did he go to a far country? You know what? I can tell you all a secret. There ain't none of you that want to mess around at home and do things that are wrong. We go on vacation, and we'll drive up to Lexington to a restaurant or something, and we think we're safe up there. We can let our hair down. We can let our guard down. And we can do some things that we normally wouldn't do. I'm going to guarantee you something. You're going to get seen now, even in the far country. And I might ask you the question, how far is the far country? Just right across the street. Anytime you leave the comforts of home and what you know is right, and you go out to do something that's wrong, that's the far country. But here's the thing about the far country. You'll never go far enough to get away from it. When I lived in Colorado, I'd been living there about a year. I took a youth group to a place in New Mexico on a church camp outing. And while we were traveling, we stopped at a roadside park and Shell made sandwiches and we got coolers out and we're drinking drinks and another vehicle pulled in. Now let me tell you this, that vehicle was from Kentucky. Now, let me go even further than that. That vehicle was from Pulaski County, Kentucky, where I'm from. That people in that vehicle knew my family. You think it was a coincidence that plumb down in New Mexico that I bumped into some people from Pulaski County? Coincidence, you think? I don't think so. I'm telling you tonight, God has got you out there in the public for people to see what children of God should do. You ever thought about that? The world does not know how to act. And so the children of God are supposed to set the standard on how they act. But you know the problem is? We want to go off in the far country and let down our guard and have a little fun. We're tired of being tied down to this Bible. We're tired of trying to do what's right all the time. I just want to let go and have some fun. Well, that's what this son did. He said, I just want to go have fun. And he did. And you know what happened? He wasted all of his money. The Bible said on righteous living. Now what righteous living means, fun and ungodly living. Not righteous living. But riotous. The word riotous in the English dictionary means wasteful living. Can I ask you something? Every one of you that gets a paycheck, can I ask you how much of that paycheck honestly is wasted? With stuff you really don't have to do and things, how much of that paycheck goes to have a little fun? You ever thought about it? See, God gives us this for us to use for Him. And if we're not careful, I want to have some fun. I want to have some righteous living too. And you know what happens with righteous living? You spend money like that before you know it, it's gone. It always tickles me, these people that win the lottery. You know, they're excited, they're holding their ticket up. And I know the guy from Somerset that won it one time. I think he won $500,000. You know, he was done for life. Guess what? His house has done been auctioned off. His cars have been auctioned off. He's done been bankrupt. He said, preacher, if I won $500,000, I would take care of it. You get caught up in the things of life, and before you know it, you've wasted it. That's exactly what this son did. But that's not the message. Stay with me. I'll give you the message. But not only that, he got down to verse 16, and this is my favorite part. The Bible said he would have fain to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I tell you tonight, there's people in this world that are really, listen, they're really hungry. And there's nobody to help them. There's people out there that will send thousands of dollars to Haiti and won't help their next door neighbor. That's what's going on. But listen, that has nothing to do with God tonight. Has nothing to do with God. That's the world. The world, the Bible, this is what Jesus said about the world. Jesus said the world will hate you because it hated me. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. He's never promised you. And so here was this man, this son, who was a king's son, sort of. He was very wealthy. And now, he is in a hog pen, and he's not wanting to eat the corn, but he's wanting to eat the shucks of the corn. And he couldn't even get anybody to give him some shucks. Now that's the picture I want you to see. And I want to tell you just really quickly about God's love. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, here's what everybody in this building's got to understand, and everybody out that door. I see it every service. I see it every day of my life. People know that they need to make a change in their life. People that know that Jesus is... Look at that and tell me that's not real. Tell me that Jesus did not die on the cross. I know he did. And I believe that. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? But there's people out there today who do not believe that Jesus died for them. But here's what happened. While this guy sat in the hog pen, eating or wanting to eat husks, not corn, but husks, the Bible said he did what? He came to himself. Every person in this life, I said this morning, and I'll say this tonight. Salvation is a personal thing. You and God is personal. You can sit here tonight and say, I don't believe in the God. But I'm going to tell you this. One day, the Bible said, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that He is God. Do y'all believe that tonight? Do you believe that one day, whether you believe He's real or not, you'll get to see Him face to face? Standing in front of Him. That's what the Bible says. I don't have no reason to think that this book is lying to me. And so what happened is, this man did what? He came to himself. He realized, I have to make a change. Go out there and close that door so I can finish this. Alright, we're ready now. Everybody still here? Sometimes the devil tries to come in and you just take a deep breath and you go back to the message. Is everybody still here? Every one of us has to come to the time in our life that we realize, hey, God is real. And this young man in a hog pen at the lowest point in his life, you know what I think? I think he could have stayed right there and died. And can I be honest with you? There's a lot of people tonight who will stay right there in that hog pen and die. But what God wants you to understand is, that's not what He wants. That's not what He wants. He wants you to come to yourself. He wants you to realize what you have. And sometimes children of God find themselves long way away from God. I can tell you this, saved people get caught up in things they shouldn't get caught up in. A lot of people say, well, you know what, if you're saved, you won't do this and you won't do this. And you won't do this. And all I do is say, what about David? Was David a man after God's own heart? What does that let us know about David? Was David a saved man? Was he? Y'all answer me, was he saved? I think he was saved. But you know what? He committed murder. He committed adultery. He lied. I mean, he broke a lot of commandments in just a few days. I think he got himself in the hog pen. But you know what? He never was away from the love of God. And the Bible said that David came to himself. David came to himself. And I want you to know that every one of us has got to get there. I got you three things to write down. Here's the first one. The goodness of God will bring you to repentance. The goodness of God will bring you to repentance. Now, can I ask you really quickly, what repentance is. I'm going to do something. You tell me if this is repentance. Repentance, some people say, is a turning around. Was that repentance? I turned around. I went right back. You know, a lot of people do that. I see people walk the aisle. They get up here and they pray. And Lord, I want forgiveness. I want to quit what I'm doing. And they get right back up and they keep going the same way they were going. See, when you repent, you turn away. Repentance is not a turn around. It's a turn away. That's a big difference. You turn away. This prodigal son could have stayed in the hog pen, but he decided this ain't the place for me. And he began to turn around. Now, did you think he went back to the party places? Or when he turned around, where did he go? He went home. And I'm going to show you something. Go with me to the book of Romans. Keep your Bible marked right there. And go to the book of Romans. I like to hear pages turn. Second chapter of Romans. Verse number 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I always make a little notation in my Bible to flip me back to Luke 15:17. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God," what? "Leadeth to repentance." You know what happened to this young man? Read verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I will perish with hunger." What did he do? He started thinking about what he had at God's house. His father's house. What he had at home. Now let me ask you something. Do you enjoy church? Have you ever got to a place in your life where it wasn't that much fun to go to church? Really didn't enjoy it? Wasn't exciting? You didn't get a big thrill to see the children get up there and sing? See, if that didn't fire you up and bless you tonight, I don't know what will. I'm being honest with you. To see them little ones get up and give it their best. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what happens? I see so many people who don't like going to church anymore. They don't get the enjoyment anymore. They're just all down in the dumps about it. And you know what the Bible said? It's the goodness of God. What we need to remember is we need to remember what God has offered. The good things from God. Has He done some good things? How many of you have been saved? Do you remember what happened when you got saved? Do you remember that burden of guilt? I mean, when this lady got saved this morning, to me, I just relive it all over again. I seen her walk the aisle this morning, and you could just see the burden on her. And when she got up from praying, you could see the burden gone. And all I could think of was for the others in the services that were fighting it, that wouldn't turn loose. They left here carrying those same burdens. But you know what? She didn't. And there may be times in her life that she gets away from God, but she needs to remember what happened. Y'all remember what happened when you got saved? Was it a good thing? You ever see anybody like this? They got down here and they prayed the prayer and they got saved and they got up and the preacher talks to them and they turn around and look at you like this. What happened? I just got saved. I'm worried if they're like that. I tell you what, you get saved, you can't help it, can you? You can't help but smile. And you know what brought that prodigal son started back home? He started thinking about the goodness of his father. I started thinking about what he had at the father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me in my father's house, or what? I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, this ain't all there are to it. I guarantee they don't shovel snow in heaven. They don't throw no salts on the street of gold. Things don't break down in heaven. Cancer's not in heaven. No more funerals in heaven. I'm telling you what, you said think about the goodness of God, and it's going to, what's going to happen is, you're going to start heading right back toward the Father's house. Where do you want to be? You want to be hanging out with the world or hanging out with God? That's what he had to decide. But I need my independence. I want to do my own thing. Well, after a while, doing his own thing wasn't working too well, was it? I better get back to God. And so he began to make his way back. So that's the first thing. Here's the best part. The Bible said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That really was a beautiful picture to me. I would love to have that picture drawn and painted. I would. I'd love to have that fixed in an afghan like these afghans hanging on the wall. I'd love to see that son going home to his father and that father putting his arms around him. What do you think that son looked like? You think he's dressed like me tonight? Think he had on a nice suit and a tie and his white shirt was pressed? What do you think he looked like? I bet he had rags on. I bet he barely had enough to cover his old naked body. And I bet he stunk bad. He'd been with hogs feeding. The Bible doesn't say he went and took a shower. Everybody says, you know what, I'm thinking about starting to go to church and I need to go buy me a suit. You're thinking wrong. I thought we sung the song, Just As I Am. I tell people this all the time. You need to come in your rags just as you are and let God clean you up. God will clean you up better than this Baptist preacher could ever do or this church could do. I don't think there's a church out there that can clean up anybody. We meet here every Friday with addiction program and talk to people. We go into jail and talk to those people. And I'm telling you what, I can't clean them up. I meet with social workers and they say, you know, preacher, you know, y'all are doing a good job. Can you help this family? And I say, no. But God can. I can't clean anybody up. Because if I cleaned them up, you know what's going to happen? They're going to go right back to the old ways and the old muck and doing the old things. But let God clean them up. And this boy came to him in those rags. But let me tell you why this is such a beautiful picture. Go with me. Keep your Bible marked. We're going to leave one more time. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. I tell you, for a long time, I didn't even know this scripture's in there. But kids, this will be a good one for you guys to read, okay? So when all the kids are turning there too, Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let me ask you some questions while you're turning there. Would you believe that this son was rebellious? Would you say yes or no? Was this boy rebellious? Was this boy wasteful? Was this boy worldly? Do you think alcohol was involved in his life? We're going to find out later it was. We're going to find out that prostitutes was involved in his life as well, according to his brother. Do you know everything he did got back home? Do y'all believe that? That everything you do eventually gets back home? It does. And this boy was no different. But let me show you a beautiful picture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21. Just about three verses. Starting with verse 18. And if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn. He's rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. Got a little disobedient child, Julia? Can't do nothing with her? With him? Sounds a little hard, doesn't it, Corinne? Take him out? Take Jacob out? Give him to the elders and say, hey, we've tried everything. He won't listen. He's just going to keep drinking and partying. He won't pay no attention. And you know what the elders are going to do? They're going to stone him to death. I didn't write that. But I just read it to you. Now, flip back with me to Luke. And let me draw you this conclusion. The Bible says, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can I tell you what I think? I think everything was set in order and all the right steps had been taken probably. This son had really defamed his family. I think people are really looking down on him. I think the father was discouraged. And I think if they were living in the Old Testament times and under the law, this boy was about to be finished. Put to death if they could ever get him out. But you know what this father did? When he saw that son coming, you know what he did? He ran to him. And he put his arms around him. And you know if anybody threw a rock, Mary, it would have to hit the father. Wow. Tell me about God's love. You know, every time, Wayne, I mess up, every time that the world says, now what? What are you going to do about this guy now? You know what God does? He puts His arms around me. If I'll come home, He'll forgive me every time. God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter what. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm ashamed of some of the things I do. Aren't you? But you know what? I'm glad that I can think about it. I'm glad I can realize it. I'm glad I can repent of it and turn from it and come back to God and He puts His arms around me. And the Bible, now listen, the Bible said He hugged him and He what? Kissed him. I tried to imagine. You reckon there was a place on his body that did not have hog manure, mud, or something on it? But you know what? That didn't bother God. That didn't bother the Father, did it? The Father came right up. You know what? Tonight, to me, this is a great picture of how God comes to us tonight in our filth, in our rottenness, and how we smell sometimes. You know what? He loves us. And I don't think you're going to do anything that God will say, I'm finished with you. He might say, you know what? You'll be better off with me than down there. And I think God will bring you home. But I don't believe I'm going to do anything that God's going to throw me away. The Bible said, what shall separate us from the love of God? So tribulation, persecution, famine, peril, anything above or below, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's in what? Christ Jesus. And then the last thing you see, the Bible said in verse 21, the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. In the book of James, the first chapter, the 17th verse, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm telling you tonight, God loves us. This morning I share with you the cross. If that isn't love, as Wendy sung this morning, I don't know what to even tell you tonight. But even after you're saved, we forget about God's love, don't we? We forget about how much He loves us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that 1 John was not written to lost people, but to saved people? Do you know that saved people sin? No way, preacher. Yes! Saved people sin. I have today. I have. You said, preacher, you know what? I've not left this church building since 8:30, 20 after 9. I've not been out the door. And I've sinned today. I have sinned in this building. What'd he do? What'd he do? What did preacher do? Y'all thinking? I got a little frustrated today at some people. Huh? Y'all don't do that, do you? You ever get frustrated? You ever get aggravated? Huh? No, not you all. But it happens to the preacher. But you know what? I am so thankful today that God's here, and even in my failures, and when I let Him down, and I can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Before I could preach tonight, I had to tell Him I'm sorry. And you know what He said, Sandy? It's all right. He did. Every time, if you'll confess, He'll forgive. And I think about this. He gave me the privilege to be able to stand here tonight and share this with you. You know, that's a gift from God. I don't deserve this honor, but God gave it to me. God gave that to me. Every good and perfect gift. And you know what? That son felt like he should just be a servant now. But the father said, come on back. You're my son. And you know what? They put everything back on him, and he was right where he left God. That where he left his dad. He was put right back in the place where he once was. You know, tonight, you may have strayed away from God, and you may have been doing some things you shouldn't have done, and you used to be a lot more involved in church than you are now, and you used to love going to church more than you do now, and you used to read your Bible more than you do now. I'm telling you tonight, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself just like this young man. Way away from God, doing things that you couldn't believe that you'd ever be doing again. But would you remember the goodness of God? Would you remember what God did for you every time you've asked Him to? Will you remember the grace of God? He didn't give you what you deserved. That's what grace is. And then remember the gifts from God. Every good and perfect thing. Has He done anything good in your life? He has. He has. And tonight, I'm just so thankful that I have a God that loves me, a Heavenly Father. You know what the Bible says? I've never felt this close yet. I'm looking forward to the time. But He said we can call him Abba, Father, which simply means Dad. I ain't got there yet. But you know what? He is a Dad. He is a Heavenly Father that wants to be your Father. He loves you like no one else can. In a world that doesn't seem to be a very loving world, we've got a Father that loves us no matter what. Isn't that great? If you're here tonight and you don't know the love of God, I tell you, I want you to know about the love of a Father. If you're here tonight and you've strayed and you've really not represented the family name well, think about it. The Christian name, we say, Christian, that's like Christ. How have you done representing the name of Christ? If you've not done well, maybe tonight you need to come back home and get things squared away with God. Whatever the needs are tonight, let's stand together. I'm going to get Rachel to go to the piano, and after we get done praying, Rachel, you play us a song. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. Lord, I don't know every need in this building tonight. I don't know any but my own. But Lord, I realize that if I can stray and I've not left the church building today, Lord, I know that we all are capable of that. So Lord, I pray tonight that You'll help us be a people that really understand the love of a Father. Lord, I pray tonight if there's needs in this place, that, Lord, that You would help meet them in any way possible. So, Lord, I pray that Your will be done here. And, Lord, that if there's Christians here out of the fellowship, that, Lord, tonight they'd see the need to draw closer and do what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister,